Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, I'm Jesse McAnally.
And I am Andrew DeWolf.
And I'm Brianna Jones.
And welcome to Musicals with Cheese, a podcast where I try to get Andrew and Bree to like musical theater. And today, we've got an extra special guest on our Christmas episode.
Very special Christmas guest.
Christmas guest. You've let the Christmas in. Oh my goodness. Pearl. Ryan.
Shut the door. The Christmas is coming in.
Oh no, the Christmas is coming in. Gotta shut that door. Please welcome actor, musician, composer, lyricist, singer, multi-instrumentalist, and little match girl, Pearl Ryan.
Hello.
We are so glad to have you back. It's been far too long.
Little match girl, I think, is the most important. I'm almost 6 feet tall, so I would like to always introduce myself as the little match girl.
I mean, little match girl is a state of mind. It's not like a literal description.
It's a title. It's not actually like a descriptor.
Yeah, it's like Spider-Man. Anyone can wear the match.
He did it. You know, end the episode.
Coming to the MCU.
Little match girl, you know, dying on the streets.
Come on. She gets her own standalone.
Or she dies on the street.
She's in Endgame.
Every time
part
she's just dead on the street. Every time. That's what happens.
They're all kicking ass and she's like, matches, penny a bundle. Oh goodness, her superhero strength is Cockney.
Just like annoy it, like comes out like Black Canary's like voice where I just can deafen people. Oh, I missed that. You me dad?
Oh no.
Oh my god. Me nan's dead. Matches.
On that note, in case you haven't picked up what we're throwing down this week for our special Christmas episode, we are talking about the Little Match Girl musical. The TV movie from 1986. Come on, you could have guessed
it. Yeah, yeah. Who didn't know about this one?
You've been requesting it for years. Come on, you guys.
Everybody's wanted us to cover this for a long time.
I've never met another human who knew this movie.
Cue the music, Bree.
Children singing, church bells ringing, auld lang syne. But one, see, that's it. The rare thing is what makes it real. Christmas time, mistletoe and wine. Children singing Christian rhymes.
Help her out!
Drops on the fire and gifts on the street. A time for rejoicing in all that we see.
The Little Match Girl is a musical. With music by Keith Strachan and lyrics and book by Jeremy Paul and Leslie Stewart, based on the musical Scraps by Jeremy Paul and Leslie Stewart, which was originally based on the Hans Christian Andersen short story The Little Match Girl. It premiered on British television on December 28, 1986, which is strangely 3 days after Christmas, so that's a choice.
Everybody's already sad.
Isn't Christmas Day in the UK a different day?
No. What? No.
Check your calendars.
Mina Maniri, tell us, is Andrew wrong there?
It Boxing Day, and then there's Christmas, and it's later. It's a
different
day.
Stop gaslighting our audience. They're going to actually believe you.
It's true.
Theory.
It's a different day.
But the plot of The Little Match Girl is... It's a short story by Danish poet and author Hans Christian Andersen. It's about a dying child's hopes and dreams, and was first published in 1845. This adaptation was made for Harlech TV and broadcast on the 28th of December, 1986, and starred Twiggy and Roger Daltrey, and features the song Mistletoe and Wine, which became a Christmas number one for Cliff Richard in 1988, the biggest selling record of that year. So that's the biggest claim to fame this movie has.
Oh, wow.
They did it.
Did you not know that, Pearl?
No, I didn't know that part.
Yeah, this does have a tangential connection to the world around it. It isn't like in its own little bubble. So in case anyone hasn't picked up like the obvious, like Pearl requested this and it seemed like a fun idea, what is your connection with this movie?
Oh my God. So my connection
I have learned this is like standard for people who got connected to this movie, at least in the US, because the YouTube link that I watched it on, which is the one you found, almost everybody in the comments had the same backstory that I did, which is I randomly found it at the library when I was a kid, when I was just going through the entire category of musicals because I was obsessed with musical theater, and I watched it and it transfixed me and I just got it from the library over and over again. It was one of my favorite movies as a kid. I remember We had a pretty good stereo system in like the early 90s when I was little, and I taped all the songs to a cassette tape so that I could listen to them at times when I wasn't watching the movie. I think somebody in the YouTube comments said, we found this at the library and we checked it out so many times, they just told us to keep it. But it seems to be like one of
those...
Nobody
else wants it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a real like Belle from the Beauty and the Beast, like, hey, you like it so much you keep it, don't bring it back here.
Yes, yes, this doesn't make any sense, there is no story. I rewatched
it's got a
this.
Great story.
It's got a great story. It doesn't know how to tell a story. I rewatched it two nights ago with my husband, who'd never seen it, and he just kept being like, I can't follow this, what is happening? And I realized it's a show that does not know when it's introducing a new character. Like, anytime a new person comes into the story, it is as though they have already been there. Like, there's no established, like, oh, this, there's no exposition. It's just like suddenly this person's singing now.
But Pearl, at the same time, they are singing, this is my name. And that's it.
Like, over and over.
Yeah. Oh, also that too, the most... It's like they wrote one verse for each song and were like, I did it 12 times.
I was legitimately surprised you wanted to talk about this because you are a very accomplished songwriter yourself. You've been instructed under William Finn. You are very, very talented. And I was just thinking, like, why this, Pearl? I know you're talented. I know you can see the issues here. I'm nowhere near as acclaimed as you are, and I can see the issues here. What's going
on? Because I have a deep, childish, nostalgic love for this little mess of a musical.
I liked a lot of this. I think it's fantastic.
You're kidding.
I love when the two women just walk up and start singing about who they are.
Yes.
That's
to
one of my
camera?
Favorite parts. Yeah, directly to the camera. I love the ending where they die and then the dad screams no.
And then she goes, oi, 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 oi.
And then she sings her happy song about how cool it is to be homeless.
I know.
It's like you just died because you were homeless.
You're a corpse.
And now
you just
like,
saw it.
Now you're like happy about how great it is
Twiggy
that you live on the street.
You. There's something like, something about the sound stage. And the like, the way that their vocals, all of their songs were recorded in studio and they have this digital reverb on them so they just sound completely otherworldly and fake. Something about that like confers this sense of dread to everything, like it's a horror movie, that I think resonated really hard with me. I was just telling somebody, I just came from a holiday party at this theater. And I was talking about this movie, and she had never heard of it, but she said, is it like Shelley Duvall's Fairy Tale Theater? And I was like, yeah, yes. Do you guys know any of Shelley Duvall's Fairy Tale Theater?
I have seen it.
Shelley Duvall had a series in late 70s or early 80s where they did low-budget musical reenactments of fairy tales on sound stages. Robin Williams plays the Frog Prince. She had, like, celebrities of the time. And it has a very similar low-budget sound stage wrongness to it. And I feel like this is sort of folded in with, like, I'm a lifetime horror fan. And I think I was drawn to things that were, like, it kind of seems like something's terribly bad.
I mean, you get the vibe that something is wrong in this show.
Yep.
But I don't know what it is because I can't figure out what's happening.
Yes. I also, something I learned that I hadn't done before, one of the first comments on the YouTube link that I watched, which is the version that I know from as a kid, one of the first comments is from somebody who claims to have been a boom operator on the filming of this movie. And he said, this is the American cut. And it
what?
Was, and there was a different, it was a different cut from what was originally aired in the UK. And apparently this was for an American audience who maybe wasn't as familiar with the source material. So now I have to watch the UK version because I wonder if that explains some of the, like, the complete failure to just establish a timeline in this musical.
I mean, if they're expecting more source material knowledge, they might, it might be even more confusing.
Yes.
Yes. Pearl, if you don't mind, I want to make Andrew describe the plot of this for us.
Oh, please.
I feel like that would be a joy.
I can't. Oh my God. I mean, the only thing I can really gather is there is a little match girl who sells matches for a penny, which I can't imagine is something many people are buying. And she just runs around and she loves to live in the street because her house is better than everybody else's because there's no walls and no ceiling. Her dad is like just a bad person, it seems like, and doesn't let her live at home for whatever reason. I don't really know what's going on there. She meets someone named Arthur, but I feel like he doesn't come back, but she loves him.
He comes back in her fantasy flashback she has while lighting matches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but she loves him. That's
her
really important because he showed up. He showed up and he sang his name like 50 times. So, I mean, how could you not love him after that? You know, so something happens where she goes and like wears her mom's clothes and that really triggers the dad to kick her out, I think. And then she dies in the street. And during that time, we like see a bunch of rich people. I don't really know what's happening there.
That's her hallucinating from hypothermia and thinking alternative ways that she wouldn't have to die tonight.
Oh, okay.
The framing device basically seems to be in her real life. She's meeting all these crazy people, the little girl that could be her friend and her bitchy sister. And then she meets like Arthur and then she meets the older ladies and whatever. And then the second half of the film is like her hallucinating how they might save her from dying. And then whoops-a-doodle, nobody saves her from dying and she dies.
Yep.
Yes.
Her that dad is... should have let her wear her mom's old feathers.
That, I don't get it. I don't, Christmas classic? Like, Pearl, I want to step into your shoes as a 5-year-old watching mm-hmm. this.
Well, let's see. Here, let's see. I was, as I said, I rewatched this with my husband, and I said, I think that was a big draw for me, that, like, that capital T tragedy and this, like, sense of doom. And I was like, I don't know what it was about worlds like that and characters like that. I was really drawn as a kid. And he said, you don't know what it was about characters like that? Because I grew up in a fundamentalist Christian family.
Oh, I get it now.
And also, with a, like a very German family with a lot of German culture. And I grew up speaking German with my father. And we had German kids' books growing up. And if you've ever seen German kids' books, they are mostly about how children misbehave and then die. So I had
as
like
they should.
I had like a lot of like Old Testament like very punitive children's literature. My whole life was like pointing me toward like the best stories are about people who die. But yeah, I loved anything like this, anything like with this like these romantic figures who are just doomed to pass away before anyone discovers their worth.
Have you ever seen any other adaptations of this story?
I don't think I have. I think there are a couple of animated ones.
The Disney animated one is fantastic. Let me just say that.
Really?
I watched that very young.
Does she still die at the end?
Yeah, it is a very 5-minute version of this entire story where she lights candles and every time she like sees like Christmas, she sees her grandmother and then the grandmother picks her up and holds her in her arms and then we fade away from that and just see her corpse there. And it's like a cute little Fantasia style like dark short. It's very, very good.
Oh wow.
So that's the only reason why I understood what was going on is because I had the context from that short of like, oh, I see what they're trying to do here.
Yeah. There's one of the like essential failings in the script is that sometimes she says me nan, and I think she means her grandmother, but sometimes she says me ma'am because the clothes in the trunk belong to her mother. So it's very unclear if she's ever, when she's speaking about her mother and when she's speaking about her grandmother. I think there's probably because they needed to write a good part for Twiggy. And
yes,
Twiggy was like, I'm not anybody's grandmother.
How about we pause and talk about the composer of this? So Keith Strachan, he is a fairly old composer. Once again, he wrote the hit that for this musical that turned out to be a Billboard hit. But he also wrote the theme song to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Oh my God.
It was a last minute, 30 minute job, basically, that he did quickly. And he gets so many residuals for it. Like, and on his website, he like has Slumdog Millionaire as like a credit of him. Not that he did the score to Slumdog Millionaire, but they use a little bit of clips of his music for the millionaire sequences in that.
Oh my God.
What is the theme for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Is it just that
that one and the like?
Yeah, that.
Yeah, all that.
Yeah, I'm hearing
that's literally
like,
the whole thing.
Like synthesized drums, like boom, 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 boom.
Yes, he wrote the entire score to like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and all that.
He probably did that in like an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this musical, The Little Match Girl, Scraps, as it was originally called, but it was renamed after this TV movie. It's still getting performed. Like, on his website, he still has, like, clips of it from 2017 productions. And he has demos of him singing every song from it that Bree is going to play right now.
Our names are Maud and Winifred, Miss Hyland Doyle to you. She is Winifred, I am Maud, we're saying how do you do. We're always seen together, trying hats on, buying shoes. She is Maud and I am Winifred, how do you do? We're on our way to church, yes, we're on our way to church. We've important things to do, we've important things to do.
It's really good. That's really great.
I wanted you guys to have that, Bree. If you need links to that, I feel like the audience needs to hear a bit of that too. But so
wonderful.
This is his claim to fame. This movie that I'm pretty sure so many people think is a fever dream from their childhoods is this person's claim to fame outside of doing like the quickest jobs on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Fever dream is right, because this is exactly the era of like stuff you'd get your mom to get from the library if you're home with strep throat like me.
Yeah.
And I probably literally did watch this movie more sick than well.
I will join you in that. I watched it today. I had a 102 fever all day today.
The full experience.
I watched it 3 times. The first 2 times I fell asleep. The third time I got through it. The third time I realized a lot of the first 2 watches crept into my fever dreams.
Oh my God.
So that was my experience where I'm like, I am queen of the streets.
That's the key to this movie. You have to watch it with a fever.
Maybe that's, I'm not saying I liked it or enjoyed my experience anytime I've watched this. Don't quote me there, Pearl.
That's why the lyrics are so repetitive, because they figure you're kind of going in and out.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa. You got to understand what their name is. Arthur's me name.
Yes.
Arthur's me name. Arthur's me name. Our names are Maud and Winifred. I love that one. That's my favorite one.
Tag yourself. Which little match girl character are you?
Oh my God. I'm soft shoes. I wear soft shoes on me feet.
Andrew?
I'm Maud and or Winifred.
I'm Twiggy.
Twiggy. Actually, yeah, Twiggy's first number with the fast lyrics that are like, if your ass is your ass, that is something your bed. In the like off the shoulder, like beer hall outfit was so fucking formative for me as a kid. I remember being like, that's the dream. That's the best thing you can do is just sing
this
a
song.
Rude song in an off the shoulder dress. That's what I want to do with my life. That really is like very much part of the bedrock of the musical theater. Huckster. And I still don't know what half those words are.
There's no way you can find the lyrics
this?
Either.
Would you perform in Little Match Girl?
Would you? If all right, if we were to do like a cabaret of you singing all of Little Match Girl, would you do it?
Oh yeah, like a one woman Little Match Girl. This is actually a really good idea.
That would actually, like
a Dick Van Dyke from Mary Poppins one man band, but one woman performer. Yes, but in my version, everybody dies.
Just get different hats and you could put on different hats for when you're different characters.
God. She's really living up to the multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah. Well, multi-vocalist.
That's going to go into what I want to do next. Pearl, you do a lot of sad covers on your YouTube page. It is part of your bread and butter.
Yes,
I would love to hear you and your incredible voice do a sad cover of Queen of the Street, please. Right now in front of everyone.
Oh, my God. Let me see if I remember these words. I have to do it in the dialect. It's the only way it works.
Yes, but it has to be sad.
Sad cockney.
Sad cockney.
I'm the queen of the streets. In me palace, all me dreams are complete. I'll have plenty. I'll have so much to eat. I wear soft shoes on me feet.
Now, Bree, just add some sad piano track behind that.
Yeah. Perfect. Oh, yeah. That's. Yeah, I think that's sad piano.
No, it's just like one key. Like.
That's not. That's a little bit more dramatic than ukulele. So
it's like the nostalgia piano type thing. 100%.
Like this is for the people that were like, man, I love Little Match Girl. I'm so excited for Little Match Girl. No Way Home.
No Way Home.
There is a way home. She doesn't have one.
Oh my God.
Little Match Girl got no home. I don't know.
When you go into the Little Match Girl averse.
Oh,
have you seen all the different Little Match Girls?
That's already what happens.
Oh, you Match Girl! It's like British young actresses.
My God. The Emma
Millie
Thompson.
Bobby Brown. We've got Florence Pugh. All of them are the Little Match Girl verse.
Yes.
There already is that in Little Match Girl. You see all the different versions of her at the end, living at different lives. Just have them all come together and they have a party and the dead one like sits in the back.
The dead one didn't show up.
Oh my God. And they still all die and it's still always Roger Daltrey's fault.
Yes.
Oi, 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 oi.
But you still have to have them come out and yell. You have to have them come out and yell no for every single one of them.
No!
Oh my God.
On that note, how about we compare our opinions to those of the insane people on the wonderful website Letterboxd?
Oh, perfect.
Wait. Let me just say, we play a game here, Pearl. It's called One Star or Five Star, where Bree and I are going to read both you and Andrew reviews, and you have to tell us whether it was a one-star review or a five-star. So there is a Letterboxd page for this movie adaptation, but there is not a single five-star review on it, so we couldn't play... So we couldn't play it with just this movie. So this is of all the adaptations of Little Match Girl.
Oh, good.
Okay.
So, Bree, do you want to start off? Pick your favorite. I always usually get to pick, but pick who you want, what team you want to play on.
Ooh, me and Pearl.
Yes.
All right.
Girls drill, boys drill.
All right, Jess.
Yes.
All right,
Jess.
Bree,
give me the easy ones.
Okay. Really beautiful animation about the death of a little girl. By the way, I learned that cherubs have navels, but no nipples. Good to know.
So, Pearl, what do you think? Is that a five star or a one star?
I hope that's a five star.
Five star?
Yep.
Yes, five.
Yeah, that's correct. Sorry, my internet went out for a second.
No worries.
All right. Andrew, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's give me a good one here.
This is actually one for the 1986 movie. Like the only one.
Okay.
They padded this out too long and I hated it. I'm glad she died at the end. I was so afraid she'd actually get saved.
I mean, it's a one star. I mean, that guy's very clear about what he thinks.
Yes, how could it not be?
Fair. With that many aimless patter songs,
it might as well be a Sondheim musical. All right, Bree, you ready?
The story loses something when the little match girl is clearly 35.
I disagree. How?
Little match girl is a title. It's not
exactly
a descriptor.
Anyone can wear the match. We've said this.
The little match milf.
Oh shit.
Now it's a descriptor.
You know what? Can we make that the title of the musical version that Pearl's writing?
The little match milf. She doesn't die.
Nah.
That's got to be one star.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. All right, Andrew, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Not really relatable, and that's the point of it, I think. ...
Yeah, they wrote the story. They were like, you know what the point of this story is? No one can relate to it. That's the point. I mean, they seem to appreciate that it wasn't relatable, so 5 stars?
That is correct.
Oh my God.
You guys are killing it today. All right.
I feel like that could be a review of many of my favorite movies.
Not really relatable, and that's the point of
that's
it,
that's the
think.
Point.
Yeah.
All right, are you ready, Pearl?
Yes.
Don't get high on your own supply.
Oh, that's good. 5.
That's a 1 star.
that's like a generous 1 star. Mm-hmm. I get it.
All right, Andrew, are you ready for this one? I don't think
I'm
you
ready.
Are. This is what I get for eating so much that I get stuck on the couch.
Sounds like it's a 1-star review of somebody's holiday experience.
Yeah, I want to go with 1 star because it feels like that feels negative. So 1 star. I'm going to say 1 star.
That was a 5-star. I don't understand
that was
it either.
Oh my God.
Letterboxd, you know, makes no sense. None of this website
is. Those are both tricks. Those are both trick questions.
They're not even tricks. The people at Letterboxd don't know what the rating system means.
All right, Bree, you go next.
All right. Wanna die tonight. Harry Styles, only angel.
5. I'm hoping it's a 5-star review.
Oh, that's a 1-star.
Oh my God.
What? Oh my Lord.
We don't understand it.
All right, Andrew, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Her trying to get people to buy her matchsticks was me trying to get people to register to vote when I was an intern during the Hillary campaign.
What? Why? Wow. Why would you? It's a review. You're supposed to be reviewing the movie. I guess it was relatable for him. And the last one that was said that it was good to not be relatable. No, I'm still 5 stars. That's a 5-star.
That is a 1-star, Andrew.
You saved all the hard ones. Was that, I ask, was that for this one, the 86 live action?
No, that one was for the Disney one.
Oh, I don't understand anything.
I don't get it.
All right, Brie.
Okay, what if sad?
Good question.
Oh, no. I'm gonna go with my instinct and say that is a 5-star review.
That's a 1-star.
I use up all my correct guesses, I guess.
There's,
that's okay.
There is no way to guess this.
There's no rhyme and reason to this. Yeah, there's no skill.
Because what if sad is how I feel about this as a person who enjoys this movie musical. That is my review of it. And for me, that is a 5-star review.
What if sad? Okay, Andrew, you ready?
I'm ready.
Mulholland Drive could never be the little match girl.
I mean, prove that wrong.
Yeah.
We're going to go with 5 stars. 5 stars.
That is a 1-star, Andrew.
Oh my God.
I don't understand. None of these make any sense.
Are you guys still tied?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Still 2-2. Okay.
we were both winning and now we're both losing.
Yes, basically.
All right, we have 3 reviews left. Anyone can win this.
Yes. All right, Pearl.
Yeah.
This one says, we don't deserve dogs.
Is there a dog in? Okay, must be one that I don't. I'm still going with five because I believe.
Yeah, that's it.
I knew it would come back around to me.
Oh, these are both very, very dubious last choices.
Of course.
Like, I don't know how. Wish you luck, Andrew.
Okay.
I guess I'm going to pick the easier of the two. What the fuck? That full review.
Fair.
I mean, that sounds negative. I'm going to go with one star. I don't know.
That was a five.
How is that a five star? Andrew, you just like you just sit down, you watch a really good movie, and you just write the review. You're like, what the fuck?
It was to the Disney one, and if you're out of context of sitting down and watching that Disney one, it is a what the fuck kind of watch. Because you're like, okay. It's just I thought it was a cute little cartoon, and then you watch it, and she's dead.
Well, I mean, all cute cartoons end with death,
especially Disney ones.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Pearl, let's see if you win by 1 point or two.
Okay, ready? How did women hold their hair up in hats like that? What the heck? Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Explain this to me. Crying face.
What?
Oh my God. One star.
That was a five star. The crying face, you know? Threw me off.
Oh my God.
You still won.
That review threw me off. Like, it was either that one or what the fuck, Andrew. I was taking the best risk on what the fuck.
That's amazing.
I don't know. I feel like I might have had a better chance with the hat one. Because the what the fuck one just sounds negative.
That's fair, but the other one had a crying, frowny emoticon.
Wow.
I would like to say that I think this is the first time that Andrew has ever lost.
Yeah, I don't think so. The first time
I lost
outright lost.
I've lost to the other guest.
Which one?
The last guest we had on, I forget.
Joel?
Yeah.
You didn't lose.
Okay.
You tied.
No,
You tied.
That's a loss.
I think you've always tied. You tied with Sideways, too.
I'm the host, so I have to actually win to win.
That's fair.
Got it. Okay.
That's fair.
So what you're saying is I'm a trailblazer.
Yes, you are, Pearl, in many, many ways.
I feel like if you win at this game, though, it doesn't say good things about you.
Yeah. It means, like, you're in tune to some really fucked up psyches. Yeah.
But I will say, every time you laughed at one of the reviews, I want your laugh like as a ringtone. It just brought so much serotonin to me. It was so joyous. Made my whole evening.
Those are wonderful. How do women keep their hair up in hats? Like, I mean, pins is the answer. Lots of pins. That review feels like a review of like the last time I did a period show in wigs.
Oh, okay. I had a brain.
Here.
I was like, a show about periods?
Time
and
here.
I was like, oh, no. I'm a dumbass. Blame
Jess,
the feverish brain.
I've done those
Jess,
too.
You're out of it.
I am. Yeah, you know what? How about we go into a mid-show and then we talk about some songs?
Sure.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Hey guys, sorry to interrupt in the middle of the show, but we've got a shill at you. Andrew, tell them about Patreon.
Today's show is brought to you by the extremely kind donations by our donors at Patreon, and they are getting some extra perks that our normal viewers don't have access to because they don't give us money. Perks like, I don't know, we have the extra podcast thing. What is it? Patreon with cheese, we call
Patreon
it?
Patreon with cheese, yeah.
We have some commentary tracks that we do on, like, Tom and Jerry and, like...
Rent.
What else have we... Rent, the movie? That
Jesus
was actually
Christ Superstar.
A really good one. Jesus Christ Superstar. We have some good ones on there. You know, go check it out. And we also, we're doing monthly meetups as well, where we play Jackbox games.
Yeah, those start up again in January. So January 7th, come join the fun.
Yeah.
Our current... Also, you will get video versions of the episodes where you can see all of our wonderful faces. You can see the incredible dress that Pearl has on right now. You're missing out on that unless you're on our Patreon, and really, it is a fucking bomb-ass dress. Our current patrons are Melissa Goldman, Terry Needleman, John Donna, Leighton Ackles, Danielle Rennox, Justice Stampede, Ewan Cassidy, Tess Gear, Monica Thoreau, Mina Maneri, Brent Black, Haley Murray, Nathaniel, Stacey Coombe, Joseph Evans Green, Carrie Ahern, Mary Lou Choquette, John Vanals, Russ Walker, Musical Hell, Emily Gracie, Tablam, Kyle Summers, Janae C, Scoot in the Technicolor Dreamcoat, Liz Lim, Allison Stellar, Nothing Is Certain Except Beth and Taxes, Thespian, Ren Cullen, Wait in the Wings, Rafael Martinez Salaz, Robert Benjamin, Jessica T, Mitchell Young, Chai Teacup, Katie McDonough, Timothy Keys, Jeffrey Machado, Chris Marcote, Tamimu Robinson, Kiji Marie Anastasio, Layla, RJ Norija, Sebastian Canino, Avon Regan, Lizzie Keynes, Charlie B, Patrick Deering, Courtney Schreiner, Joe, Avery Brinson, Marilyn Brown, Mel Cormick, LaFemme Fectionnelle, Bjorn Hermans, Trenise Massey, August Gorman, Mac the Knife, Erica S, Toriana Vestal, Sammy the Most Lopez, and Liana Morton. They give us money that helps us keep the lights on and helps us keep Bree getting paid. And we like paying Bree. It's one of my favorite things to do. One of the rare times I love giving money away. but please help support us. We love it. 2022 is going to be a good year for us. There's a lot of fun things we want to talk about. So keep us going. All right, let's get back to the show. Number, the little match girl, named for the show itself,
which is the opening. I just watched part of the British cut, which opens with her I Want song, so now I'm forgetting.
Wait, there you can find the British cut.
I didn't even mean to. I was just it's if you Google little the little match girl, it's like the second YouTube result, just I think is called Little Match Girl 1986, and it's a different version that opens with her she's next to the pillar and she goes scraps right. From the street all I ever get to eat, and it's that whole song, and then it go and then there's a little bit of me own it's different to yours, and then there was like a character selling, there was a character I hadn't seen before, it was a whole new world. This is like 30 minutes ago.
Wow.
But in the version we watched that I'm used to, it opens with somebody remind me.
Oh.
I'm fully blank.
I think it opened with Little Match Girl, and then it kind of goes into Penny from His Profits, if I remember correctly. There's a lot of songs I'm seeing in the song list.
What song is called A Little Match Girl? Hold on.
I think it's just like a little song that plays over the opening credits.
Oh, okay. Oh, so there's something. All of the music in this piece is on synthesizer.
Yes.
Which, like, there's like a few live violins at one point, and... when Arthur sings his Maybe We'll Get Married Even Though You're 14 song, there's momentarily an electric guitar when it's like, sexy man is singing. But other than that, it's just synth, which
it's like being bombarded by a wonderful Christmas time. It really is.
And it's such a weird choice for a, like, 1890s set. piece of theater, like, to my ear is so jarring. It just sounds like this is set in, like, the recent past. But actually, I love the melody, that bing, 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 bing. I actually think that melody is, like, really touching. So
I think what I like about the soundtrack to this is that everything I listened to had a bit of that VHS warble to it. You know?
Yeah.
So, like, every single song is just kind of like, wow.
Yep. Sounds like childhood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But also, it sounds like, man, I wish someone would do, like, a 4K, like, restoration of this so I could hear what these songs are supposed to sound
do
like.
Do you want that, though?
I want a 4K restoration of the Star Wars Holiday Special. So, yeah, I want a lot of garbage.
You want to see
the Star Wars Holiday Special, though.
In that dry, sandy snow that just scoots across the floor of that soundstage.
It doesn't even look remotely cold. So the fact that she's supposed to be freezing to death really doesn't sell at all.
And that I remember that was really confusing when I was a kid, because everyone's dressed the same and everyone's in the same environment and everyone else looks fine. I guess she doesn't have socks, but, like, everyone else is, like, bare-necked and, you know, a dress. Yeah, I found that very confusing. And it reminds me of... I've done a couple of shows that where, like, extended periods take place in the cold, and it is so tedious to remember to go, and it feels so stupid. And you
remember,
always
remember you're cold.
Yes,
you're cold.
That's just all of the director's notes are like, don't forget it's cold, and you're like, I'm doing a musical, I'm sweating.
The lights are on me. Can't you see?
Yeah.
What they need to do is just make the set actually really cold.
We call that the James Cameron. Just actually give them hypothermia. It's
yeah, you've seen The Exorcist. Everyone, like, turned out good from that.
Yes.
Classic. It's a great strategy.
Broken back acting. Although, this time I clocked, in the end, when it actively snows, I think that's hand-drawn animation. Because
it looked way too thick to be, like, real.
Yeah,
anything.
And it's way too old to be computer generated, and I think that's kind of lovely. So,
I agree.
All
but
the budget
me,
went there.
It gives me Pee-wee's Playhouse vibes more than, you know, like,
fair.
Really.
Yeah,
like, it doesn't feel as effective as I think they wanted it to.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Arthur's Me Name.
Give us your anger. Blimey's frozen. Your nose is all swollen. Come on and get closer. Come on, let me warm ya. Let me inform ya. Offers me name. Yes, offers me name. And I'm happy by nature. And I won't hate ya. Offers me name. And laughter's me game. And I'm happy to meet ya.
I feel like another major layer to my loving the show when I was a kid is because I was trained by Newsies, and anytime a scamp in a newsboy cap entered, I was like, that's my boyfriend.
Oh,
and
so you were crushing on, like, the 4 pixels on screen? Like, could you even see his face?
All I knew was he had an accent and he was singing and he was kind of flirty. Yeah. But
does
then,
that describe your current partner?
Let me see. He does really good accents. He's pretty flirty. But he's no newsboy caps. That's
I know
funny.
What she's getting for Christmas.
Although I remember watching this and I thought he was so cute, and I thought the little relationship was, and even this time through, I think those two actors did a really good job with their relationship. They seemed really warm. Until the end, when he sings and we live happy ever after, and she comes in a wedding dress, and I remember being a kid being like, but we're 8.
Aren't we all... You're in this relationship.
Moving a little fast here, man.
Aren't we all 8 years old? She is, and she, like, I would believe that he's 18 and she's 14.
Yikes.
They look young.
They look like kids.
Yes. Yeah.
What were the lyrics to Arthur's Me Name, though? I feel like he repeats
Oh my
Arthur's
God.
Me Name, like, 5 times.
Arthur's Me Name, like, and Laughter's Me Game. And I'm happy to meet ya, but I won't eat ya. Arthur's me name and laughter's me game, and I'm happy to meet ya. Over and over.
But doesn't he at one point rhyme meet ya with teacher? And I'm like, no, that's cheating.
Oh, yeah. The sweatiest rhymes. But it's just, it's all in Cockney, too. So it's offer's me name and laughter's me game. And I'm happy to meet ya. There's only three consonants in the whole dialect.
That's how they fall in love, though, you know.
Okay, I'm gonna say
figure out what they're saying.
A maybe controversial opinion here.
Mm-hmm. Oh no,
I did not ship them, but I shipped her and the little girl that really wanted to be her friend. I thought they had more romantic chemistry.
Nah.
I did. Like, he's like, hey, I'm gonna take advantage of you. Ah, la, la, la. And she's like, I want to take her home and feed her because I want to be
like
her friend.
You're putting a lot of stuff into the show here that isn't there. All right.
You know what, Andrew?
Arthur has one character trait. One character trait Arthur has,
and it's his name.
It's his name.
And the other girl has many character traits. Her trait is being unlike her sister, going against the grain, mm-hmm. wanting to help others, having empathy for people, believing in all that, and wanting to take this poor
and
girl
a very
home.
Very nasal belt.
Yeah, she's doing her best, Pearl.
Like, it's a very... That's way too complex of a character for a love interest.
Nowhere
okay?
near as nasally as her sister, though.
The actor who plays the sister is just doing everything. Every frame, she's like, it is important that you know I am a bitch. I am a classist. I am insufferable. I have this kind of accent. She just, you could tell she did her own hair because her hair was better than anybody else's. She really understood the assignment.
She gave theater mom energy, meaning that her mom basically went through every single line and every movement and did her hair. I was like, you're doing it like this. This is your one shot, Melissa.
She was very coached.
Don't fuck this up for us. I mean, for you.
You're all paying right. the mortgage.
What song's next here?
Don't talk to beggars.
Try this on, it's just your style. The very thing to catch his eye. Make him smile, make him sigh. And take your hand. Understand? You and I are of a kind. In this dress you're looking divine. And this hat is so refined. Such design, ooh, such flair. It's what you wear that makes you what you feel. Turn around and step out proud. Show 'em off and wear 'em loud. Draw a crowd, make 'em stare. It's what you wear that makes you what you feel.
Oh, those are the girls.
Yeah,
she's
we're going to talk about the girls.
Liza, we have things to discuss.
I like this song. I maybe because it made me feel something other than like, oh, I'm bored.
My favorite thing about this song is that it's 5 minutes long and the two sisters are talking at each other. And the whole time the little match girl is just like.
Yeah, the staging is really
just
rough.
Standing there. She has nothing to do. She has just met these people. They are talking about her. And she's like, too bad I don't have blocking.
That's the issue with the Daddy Please Let Her Stay song, too, where it's these daughters fighting about her, and then she's just also there given a doll. Anytime the match girl isn't on screen, we have to have them ask, where's the match girl?
Mm-hmm. Where's the match girl? Oh, there she is, just kind of standing there.
Yep.
Yeah,
just chilling.
I guess we have to talk about the Billboard top seller, Mistletoe and Wine.
Time for living, a time for believing, a time for trusting and not for deceiving. Snow and smoke, a smile and a joke to warm the hearts of good gentlefolk.
Christmas time.
That's the one that was a big song?
Yep, that one became a really
Jess,
big one.
Jess, was it a big song in the UK?
Yeah.
There's like 10 people in the UK.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't count.
Andrew, a lot of them support us on Patreon. Like, at least 4 of the 10.
At least 4 of the 10 people support us.
It's a Christmas song. Like, it was pretty big. It has its own Wikipedia page.
Wow. I mean, I guess
I gotta see this.
It's not plot specific.
Nope.
Christmas time.
Michael Ball and Alfie Bo covered it on their Christmas album last year.
Oh, wow.
Bree, play a little clip of that, because those are some Broadway pedigrees. That is the most Broadway pedigree this musical probably has ever seen. My God. This was a hit, like a proper hit. I literally cannot remember it in the show at all. Like, I'm sure it played. I'm sure, like, oh, that's the famous one. And then
it's always background. It's always like people singing outside the home. It's not like a proper number that people sing at the camera.
Then how did it become a hit is the thing. Like, it's obviously not in the service of this show. Maybe it's like kind of like how Waving Through a Window kind of became a hit because no one really knew what that show was about.
Yeah, it's like the lyrics are very generic, Christmas-y.
You gotta read the background in the Wikipedia here.
Why don't you read it for us, Andrew?
As originally conceived, Mistletoe and Wine had a different meaning from that which it has come to be known. The writers wanted a song that sounded like a Christmas carol, intending it to be sung ironically while the little match girl is kicked out into the snow by the unfeeling middle classes. By the time the musical transferred to television, the song had become a lusty pub song sung by the local whore, as played by Twiggy.
Now, is she canonically a sex worker?
Apparently! Man, poor Twiggy. She won like a good role here, like her TV debut or whatever.
Yeah. But also that actually is very parallel to Waving Through a Window. It was initially written to be ironic and then was taken seriously.
You're right. What you're telling me is the Little Match Girl is Dear Evan Hansen. They're the same show.
Oh, don't. Except it's not that bad.
The Little Match Girl has the ending that Dear Evan Hansen should have had.
I would fund that change.org petition to change
Evan Hansen to freeze to death.
Yes,
while imagining that he's living with the Murphys.
Yeah, Murphys. No. He lights a match. The first one is his dad comes back in the truck.
And oh my God.
The second one is the Murphys.
And the third one is him and Connor like cuddle together. And then that's the one that he goes to heaven. He goes to heaven with Connor.
The final image is his mom holding the lifeless body.
No,
Then Evan's oi, 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 I'm waving through a window.
We fixed it.
It's so much better now. It's perfect.
The worst part is if nobody saw the Little Match Girl TV movie we're talking about, I wonder if this will make any sense or if we just sound like insane people.
What other songs are worth talking
about? None of
here?
Them. That's it.
I honestly past a certain point, I can't remember any of the songs.
Oh, yeah.
Pearl, are there any other big hitting songs from the show that we need to talk about?
How does the Twiggy one go that she sings in the beer hall? Choosing is easy if hunger's your dread. If your ass is your asset, then I've never known what this word was. Something your bed. It's a song about like playing loose and easy. And when I was a kid, this was so scandalous to me and I remember very, very well this line when one of the like stuffy old women is like, "What are you doing back here?" And she goes, "Working." And I was like, "That's what I want to do." Just be coarse and unpleasant.
Man, you're living the dream.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, I honestly did love this portrayal of, and I think this is a little bit groundbreaking. She is completely unapologetic and seems to be kind of doing well for herself. Yes, she's hanging around with, like, a guy who's very slowly murdering his child by not letting her into the house. But
that's not too bad.
But she seems very self-possessed, and she's like, I like singing in the beer halls. Maybe she likes doing some sex work. If that, like, I don't know if the implication is that, like, every woman who sang in a beer hall was also turning tricks.
Ever since Oliver, that's been the implication, sadly.
Oh, no. Oliver, that there's definitely, just beyond the dialect, there are some parallels of, like, doomed women and snappy
abusive
urchins.
Abusive men.
Yep. Better songs.
Man, those three hand in hand. Doomed barmaids, snappy orphans, and abusive men.
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of my favorite properties as a kid. I'm going to have to unpack that.
Well, time to figure that one out in therapy.
Yeah.
On that note, what is everyone's thoughts on The Little Match Girl and their cheese ratings? Pearl, do you want to go first?
I'm going to be very honest. I don't fully understand the cheese rating system, and I would like a little refresher so that I can do it justice.
Literally, any cheese you could try to justify as a rating, whether
or
it be
not
good
justify.
Or bad.
Okay.
It is just mostly us making fun of ranking systems to begin with.
I love that. That really speaks to me. I'm gonna give The Little Match Girl blue box macaroni and cheese rating because I loved it as a kid, mm-hmm. and as an adult, I recognize its flaws. It is still nostalgically appealing to me, but ultimately leaves me queasy.
Really? Didn't even get to that one. Why did it leave you queasy?
I think that when you grow up with a lot of really old-fashioned, really retrograde entertainment, you get a lot of ideas about romantic relationships, especially heteronormative romantic relationships. And I think that can really seep in, and you can get some bad ideas. Especially about those angry men, those like angry, attractive men and those kind of tragic, beaten women. And I think that's actually not the greatest model to be giving to kids. And so I think if kids are going to absorb entertainment like this, it should just come with some context and also some alternatives so that that's not the only model they get.
That's fair. That's good. Good for me that I shipped her with the very kind girl, though.
Exactly.
Like, that's where my brain was like, hey, that seems like the healthy relationship here.
Yeah, they can take care of each other.
I mean, she likes her for the right reasons, and their connection seems genuine, so that's good. All right, Andrew, what's your thoughts and cheese rating?
I didn't like it. I didn't think it was very good, to be honest. I couldn't follow it.
that's fair.
And a lot of the songs were just people introducing themselves, and honestly, that just it, kind of like a Cats vibe for me. Not my favorite. Nonetheless, I'm going to give it a Cropwell Bishop Stilton cheese because that is just the most British sounding cheese I can find.
It is.
That's great.
That sounds like it has chimney sweep ash in it.
It probably does, honestly, which only furthers the reason that this should get it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Brie, what do you think of our discussion and your cheese rating of that?
I think this discussion was perfect for Christmas, as this is our Christmas episode.
Oi!
and I enjoyed having Pearl on the show once again. And overall, I thought it was great. Will I ever watch The Little Match Girl? Probably not. But
I think that's the right takeaway.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I enjoyed the discussion. Won't watch it, though. I'm going to give this Saganaki because I'm going to use the little match from The Little Match Girl and light this cheese ablaze. Mm-hmm. That is my rating.
Ooh, that's great. Not going to lie, it took me 3 watches to get through the show. however, once I finally got there, I could see this being a really fun drinking game for like a late night Christmas thing. It's the American one. I don't think I could handle anything longer than the hour and 14-minute version.
Yeah.
To be honest. But it's so wacky, so insane. I feel like if you drank and made fun of this, this would be a fun night. I know Pearl watched it with sincerity as a child. I don't think anyone right now really could. I'm very curious of her partner's review of it.
Oh, I think the review was, I am physically unable to follow the story of this movie.
Oh, the same review Andrew gave it.
Yes.
I was able to follow it just because I had seen other adaptations. I cannot imagine anyone else being able to pick it up. On that note, I am giving this Easy Mac, or as I would like to call it, Choosing is Easy Mac.
I like that.
Because you got to tie it in. Pearl, happy Christmas and whatever, because Christmas episode. Please promote all your stuff for people to find you.
Oh, lovely. I am, I'm currently in A Christmas Carol at one of my favorite regional theaters, People's Light Theater in Malvern, Pennsylvania. And if you don't live immediately in the area, you can get a streaming ticket on our website if you like. It is $25 and you can stream it as many times as you want. There's also a demo recording of my solo in the show as Christmas, Ghost of Christmas Past, available for free on the website. And it's kind of a lovely, sad, haunting folk song, as I like to do. So it's very fun. My character is kind of a weird, queer, impish, Peter Pan-esque spirit, and I'm having a fucking blast playing it.
No typecasting here.
Right.
Yeah.
I would also like to promote some of your song work, including the more recent four pieces you did with the William Finn Workshop.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
Those were incredible. The one I'm going to actually have Bree play instead of our ending song is February Friend, which is probably one of my favorite pieces you've written. And I love a lot of your pieces. So that will be what is playing at the end of the show as opposed to our usual outro. So enjoy that one, everybody.
Oh, that means a lot. Thank you so much.
Yes, because I do sincerely love your work, and I love you as a person, too. So isn't it great that I can do both?
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
But we also love you people listening. So please follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher at Musicals with Cheese. We're on Twitter at Cheesy Musicals. We're on Patreon Musical Cheese, Instagram Musicals with Cheese, YouTube page Musicals with Cheese. We have a patron-only podcast called Patreon with Cheese with me and Liz Esten. We're covering TV shows right now. Email us at musicaltheaterlives@gmail.com. Our title card is created by the amazing Jolene Casco. Follow them on Instagram at Jolene Casco. Our keeper of the cheese is Juliet Antonio. Thank you, Juliet, for keeping track of all of our cheese ratings, because God knows I wasn't going to do it. This show is produced by the incredible, the wonderful, one of my best friends in the entire world, Brianna Jones. Our theme songs were created by Robin Nash of IOU Music UK. Thank you to the Broadway Podcast Network for having us on the platform and for not kicking us off for lighting too many matchsticks. All right, you guys, are you ready? What the fuck? I think that's all we have this week. Thank you for joining us, Pearl. This was honestly a joy.
Thank you for having me. It's always wonderful.
Okay. We'll see you next time on Musicals with Cheese. Merry Christmas, everybody! Have a happy matchstick on us this year!
Merry Christmas.
No one's happy to see you, only glad when you go. Must be awful to be you, heavy with rain and snow. Now that you're here again, I feel a small pang of shame for the many times when I cursed your name. So I'll be your friend, February. February, I'll be your friend. Testimony is ample that you're hard to abide. I will offer a sample of reasons you've been decried. Gray and depressing, you are often too cold. when you leave, it's a blessing. But as I told you, I'll be your friend February. February, I'll be your friend. I know what they probably say when you all get together. Or easy like May with her temperate weather. Must you be moody and inclined to gloom? Must you work yourself up in these blustery rages? Can't you just learn to shine? You know, beating the blues isn't really that tough. If you can't, it must be you're not trying enough. Think I know how you're feeling with your clouds dim and gray. Mine are all on the ceiling, darkening every day. We march to the same drummer for a month at a time.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.